Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, TGS and KMOX. I'm laughing because just before I say good afternoon, St. Louis, every time I think, I could just quit. Like, once I say this, I have to do 4 hours. But I could just quit.
Then I just go, walk on out of here.
St. Louis. The very first show I did, like ever, October 16th, 2000, I was so nervous. And I brought my buddy John in to just sit in, on a couch and just let me talk to someone. And it's like 5 minutes before the show starts. And Jeff Allen, who was my boss back then, and I go, hey, I'm just going to have my friend John sit in with me. And he goes, oh, gosh, sorry, we can't. And I guess I must have given him a look, like my eyes went gray, like you've seen my shark eyes. And he was like, it'll be fine. It's okay. And so I'm in there with John in an empty room, except for the couch, because it was an extra room. And the light goes on. And like what I just described, like every single day, I'm thinking, I could just go home. I really thought about it. I was like, there's no one here that can stop me. There's no one big enough or fast enough. I could just leave. And there would be like a legendary joke. Remember the guy that left before his very first show started? But I was just so nervous.
I don't know, because I haven't heard your stories over the years. So I don't know a lot about the first day. Was that the same day where the curse words got on the air because your producer wasn't paying attention?
Yes, it was.
Which I would love to hear that again. But also, did you have a plan? Did you like go in? Like, we kind of know what we're going to do today. Not really, but kind of. Did you have any sort of plan?
I did. And it was one that my bosses hated. So when I started 22 years ago, come October, I was hired to do a legal call-in show. That's what I was doing. Dave the lawyer, 2 hours. And what I'm thinking is, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to do the DGS because I don't like being a lawyer. I'm trying to get out of this crap. So I'm not going to, you know. And so the first day, I probably did about half and half. And I thought it went great, relatively. I'm sure it was terrible. And I came in the next day, and my bosses were not happy because they wanted a legal call-in show, and that was it. So, yeah, I did 6 months of kind of real crappy legal call-in shows. And we got booked to do, what's it called? Spring Fest at St. Louis University. And they
What do you mean you got booked?
Like a live show.
Oh, a live broadcast.
Their like spring carnival.
Uh-huh.
And they put us about a half a mile away from Spring Fest in like a little quad. And Tom was with me, obviously. It's my first 6 months. And I'm like, Tom, you got to get me out of this. Like, this is humiliating. There's no one here. And he's like, my palsy, zip, zip, zing, nothing I can do. And so we go on the air, and it's a Friday, and I'm like, F it. What? Who cares? And so I started kind of doing a bad David Letterman impression. I would stop everyone as they walked by, and I'm like, do you know where Springfest is? They're like, oh, yeah, dude, it's like a mile over there. And it was really funny. And so I finished, and I'd heard rumblings I was going to get fired. And Jeff Allen called me afterwards. And I really thought that was going to be it. And he goes, could you do that again? I'm like, do what again? He goes, what you just did. Well, I can do that all day long, brother. I just can't give legal advice.
I'm way better at that.
And that was it. That was kind of like the birth of the DGS. Yeah. They didn't make me do legal advice after that at all.
They said, please stop giving the world's worst legal advice.
It was, too.
We are going to get sued.
It was terrible.
will you talk about what the bad thing that happened when the call got through?
Yeah, so it was the very first call I ever took.
I mean, what are the chances?
And pretty decent.
We back then.
Not really. That's really bad luck.
I was the only live talent on 97.1. Everything else was O'Reilly and Dr. Laura. And Dr. Laura was going through a lot of controversy because she had taken some sort of an anti-homosexual stance. There was no LGBT back then. It was just gay and homosexual. And so I thought, okay, I'll talk about that in my first segment. Hey, everybody. And so the call comes in, and I don't have any control over it. Tom does, and he's outside in the hallway. I can see him through the little porthole window. And the guy goes, oh, hey, Dave. I'm like, hi, Larry. And he goes, I have a question about homosexuality. I'm like, yeah, shoot. And he proceeds to ask the most graphic questions in the most pornographic ways, using every word, F word, you name it, every word you can think of that would be graphic, gross, and offensive to everyone, including LGBT.
Which I'm not laughing at. I'm laughing at the...
It's my first call.
Yes, what's happening behind the scenes.
And I can't hang up on him. And Tom is out there talking to someone. I can see him doing his zing zing, I'm strong as bull, that thing. And I'm like, look, this is just one for the boys in the truck, but I'm not sure this is what we should be doing. And then I see him go.
That's so great.
Yeah, that's my very first one.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they let you back after that.
And then day two is when the power went out.
And I don't know this story.
Whole cluster. The power went out. Horrible storm. And I think it hit the tower or something. And they had to open up my door because there was no air conditioning. And Tom, once again, who's an angel, not a villain, but he certainly was a villain the first 2 days. He says to me, well, my pal, you just do your show into the mic. And when the power comes on, you'll already be doing your show. And I'm like, it's only my second day in radio, but that doesn't seem right. Like, everyone else is walking around. He's like, no, my pal, trust me, it's what we need to do. So I'm in there with the door open, with the power off, and I'm like, so anyway, that's the difference between promissory estoppel and latches. And I remember you, man, walked by and he goes, who's that? And someone goes, I don't know, it's lawyer guy on the new station. He goes, does he know the power's off? And he goes, I don't know. And he goes, that's awful. And I start flop sweating and I'm hearing sirens in my head.
My God.
Did you keep going?
I went on, I did about 30 minutes into the dead mic.
Mm-hmm.
And then those were the two days where Tom was my superior. And it all changed when I go, dude, I'm not doing this anymore. He's like, right on, my palsy.
Sure.
This has been a test.
Yeah, you're like, oh, all I had to do was disagree with him. And
he's like, you were talking, talking to Mike? Whose idea was that?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, those are my first 2 days.
And look at you now.
Yeah, just look at me. And then another great story is Rick Bayless, who is the program director, and John Beck was our market manager. And they're both great friends of mine, and we did a lot of great business together. Love them both. But at the time, they didn't know we've met them because I had been an advertiser, but, you know, who cares? And evidently, John was in the Space Needle in Seattle with his wife on vacation, and Rick Bayless calls. And he said the first couple minutes, he just moaned. He was like, oh, John. And he thought like his wife died, like for real. He was like, Rick, pull it together. What is it? And Bayless goes, it's Glover. It's so awful. Like he was just like, he's like, we can't fire him because he's a lawyer and he'll sue us. But it's the worst thing I've ever heard. We've never put in. Come on. We have to have some dignity. This is terrible. Yeah. And
have you laughed about it after that with him? I don't know who told you that
because
story.
Because okay, I had
he
already
ended up telling you.
Yeah. A couple years later.
Like enemies to this
day. We were successful. And he was like, but I'll never forget. He told it in front of a big crowd. And you know how it is when you're like, oh, like, yeah, I'm laughing along, but I'm like, that sucks.
That's great.
To know that.
Was that the, I remember, I don't know if it, was it 97.1? Who tried to do like the all female?
That was us.
Was that
didn't
before
change
it turned? Okay.
We didn't change
that's
a
why
thing.
That's why they got Dave, obviously.
No, they didn't change a thing. Like we did 2 years of normal, just, hey, we're a talk station. I always thought the F in KFTK was for FM because we're like the second FM talk station in the country. And then one day Jeff comes in and he's like, so we're going all female talk. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? And he's like, nothing. We're just going to say it.
Oh, so you were already on when they decided to do that.
I was on from day
okay,
one.
Okay, because I can't really remember.
Yeah.
So right after it, were you on it right after it changed from The Rock?
Yes.
To, okay.
That's why the guy called and pranked me. Because he was mad because he loved 97.1 The Rock.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that used to be 97.1 was in the building I was in. I mean, The Rock. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
With the point in the river.
Yep. And I always say, and I think John and Rick get mad at me when I say this, but maybe I'm wrong, but the story I always got was that we bought 97.1 because they were taking a big bite out of Casey and they were competing and winning. And they're like, well, let's just buy it. And I've also heard this story, too. I think this is true. That they said, we need people to forget about this signal. Like, we'll make money on 97.1 at some point, but we need people to forget it exists.
Hmm.
So they put me on. Like, they put on a talk station on FM with
chat.
Their premier talent being a guy who's never done it before. So it kind of makes sense.
Lawyer chat.
Yeah, wow, I almost asked the stupidest question ever. Was it called the Dave Glover Show?
Well, oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I never thought
was
about
it always
that.
3 to 7?
No, it was 4 to 6 to start.
Okay.
And then it went 3 to 6 and now 2 to 6.
Mm.
Soon to be 1 to 7.
It was 3 to 7.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yep. It was 4 to 7. Okay. It was 4 to 7, then
I've
3 to 7.
I've never stayed the whole time, so I don't really know.
Then 3 to 7, then now 2 to 6.
You're giving
I'm
me
getting mixed up too.
Really fond, just talking about all this stuff, giving me really great memories of the 20-year anniversary show, because we had such a good time. And
that was fun.
People like John. And
you did a great job.
And
with that.
Rick called in for that, and that was really,
you were
really
in this
cool.
building, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You recorded something for him.
Yeah, you were
Yeah,
on
but
it.
I was at home, right?
Yeah.
Shut up, Andrew. This is not a make fun of church segment. I just didn't remember.
No, we had a bunch of our buddies call in and give really nice, just like talking to Dave, and we would play it throughout the whole show. It was really fun.
We need to do a 5K. We did DGS 4K when you kind of first started on the show. And now
do we have to run it?
We're at 5K.
Or do we just have to host it?
No. They talked about doing a 5K because it's cute with the 5K, but no. I'm not running a 5K.
Okay.
Yeah, they found out that it would kill me if I ran a 5K.
I'll stand at the finish line.
The insurance.
I have been trying to run, like, trying valiantly.
Ugh.
I just don't think I'm a runner. I just don't think that I'm meant to do it.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think some people are and some people aren't.
I just try and then I'm like, why are you doing this when you could be doing anything else? And then I stop.
Perfectly fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know how we've been doing stories where, like, if you just lift your head off of your couch, it's going to help you.
Which I don't really want those stories to go away, I'll be honest.
I'm good with another one today that if you walk a mile a day. Yeah. Oh, a lady walked a mile a day for 100 days. And it was, you know, you've seen these like, and here's what it did to her body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're just trying to get the message out. Like, just do something.
Just do something.
Do anything.
So what happened?
Did it make it worse?
I mean,
yeah.
Please tell me it made it worse.
She became grotesque.
She gained 50 pounds and grew an ear on her shoulder. No, like she lost a bunch of weight and her blood's better. And
oh, good for her.
Whatnot.
Her blood's better.
You have better
blood.
She got
good blood now.
At first they were looking at her blood and they were like, ugh. And then they checked it later and they were like, that's
pretty.
Better.
This blood is not good. Phoebe, this one's okay.
Phoebe has turned Trish into a superhero because remember when we went to lunch?
At Olympia.
Yeah. We went to the zoo and she met you for the first time. And she was like, oh my gosh, Trish is so pretty. And she's so this and that. And I'm like, yeah. She never does anything. Like, she's never worked out and all this. And she goes, well, she's like, and my point is, anytime you come up now in conversation, that comes up.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah.
At least it's not anything else.
She's like, you should see her. She's a freak.
She looks so good. That's,
I don't, you know, like, tell her to tamba down. I don't want people to be disappointed when they finally see me. They're like, what is she talking about?
I did that for years. Like, my weight has really fluctuated, like everyone's, but mine really has, like 100 pounds probably. And when I was at my... Oh, not that. Like, I was normal chubby, but I would act on the air like I weighed 500 pounds for
right.
just that. People would yes. show up, they'd be like, where's Dave? And they're like, oh, it's that guy. He weighs 225.
He's not bad.
They're
not gentlemen. Bad.
Jeez.
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah. 224 DGS. You know how if you had to give like an exhaustive description of yourself, you'd get down into the minutiae of like, well, I like to do this. Under that heading, I was just saying to Nick when we were on vacation, I'm this guy. So anytime I see people taking a selfie of themselves in a group, I make a beeline for them. And I'm like, would you like me to take that for you? And they're like, oh, that'd be lovely. And I feel like I've cured cancer.
Yeah, you're a hero.
It's purely selfish. Mm-hmm. It's all a warm fuzzy for Dave. But that simple act, because there's a lot of them you could do, like, oh, may I carry your groceries? May I do this? May I do that? That's my go-to. That is my, I'm the best guy in the world. You feel me?
Which is a little surprising because it seems like you would be mad at people for taking the selfie in the first place.
Probably. But it gets me what I want because it makes me feel like a nice dude.
Do you hit them with a couple of different angles? That's what I try to do.
Come on, sister.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I want them to remember me.
This guy really took a good picture.
Yeah, for years they're going to look at that photo and be like, man, that guy really did us
there
a solid.
There was this guy on the
remember
beach.
Remember him?
First of all, sexy
He just
AF.
Came up to us out of nowhere.
Yeah, and look, he gave us all these angles. I think he did a slow-mo video. Do you guys have anything like that that's kind of a go-to, makes you feel good?
Door holder.
Yeah,
I'm
I like
big.
The
Let me get the door for you.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of memories, when we came over here because our parents got divorced, you know, it's like the point went over there with Casey. We came over here. You were the person who opened the door when we walked in the
That's
first time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here comes Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember texting you after we found the news out the news, and I didn't think you were very excited.
I wasn't.
To hear from me.
Oh, no. It was like, oh, here's Giselle.
Oh, my God. Soda just came out my nose.
To hear from me.
No, it had nothing to do with you. You've always been delightful. It was just like, oh, okay. Now I'm going over here. This company I don't
yeah,
know.
That was weird. Anytime, I mean, anybody out there in any business, if you suddenly acquire another company or all these new people start coming in.
And when we came over, KMOX and CBS had the well-deserved reputation of being really, really uptight. And, you know, you had to wear,
yes.
you know.
Well, compared to you guys.
Button-down shirts and khakis and all this.
Or you guys had happy hour every day.
So I come in, being me, with jeans and a V-neck and a beanie. And the guy, I think his name's Dave Alpert, who's not with us anymore, but he was like the regional guy. And he comes up to me and he goes, this is what I want. This is why you're here. I need you to spread this. And I'm like, okay.
I just remember before we moved over, we were having like a group meeting about like, I can't believe they're going to make us wear clothes, like nice clothes. Yeah. And Tony Colombo goes, I literally don't own a pair of real pants.
Oh, that's so funny. So was that your biggest, like,
that was one of the, I mean, we were just completely freaked. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime.
It was like going to a new high school or something. Like, yeah. Oh, it was. Didn't, and now like, this is the normal thing.
Didn't Close call us or text us or something? Is that how we found out?
Close texted you.
Was that what it was?
I think so. Well, no, I don't know. I don't remember when we found out we were coming over here. But I remember when it was dissolving, he texted you.
I remember it was
you.
Close, because Close knows everything before it happens. And just being like, wow, this is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Yeah, you guys lived the good life for a long time over there. And Emma's, we always heard about it. We were very jealous.
It was real. Like, you didn't realize it because it was a good lesson to learn because you always complain about wherever you work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and not that this place is bad, but you look back and you go, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
We used to have beer Fridays until
yeah,
we dropped the cooler
cool.
one day and the cooler exploded. But they were like, we're still doing beer Fridays.
They dropped the
huge
cooler.
Mess glass
well, when
everywhere.
I first started,
somebody tried that here
in
for
2000,
like a week.
It was like crazy. Just debaucherous. And they would talk about, oh man, they really shut us down back in the mid 90s. Like, really? People having sex on the table.
What?
Well, you know, the bosses. 235 DGS. So last night I was just kind of hanging out, flipping around TV, and I landed on PBS Channel 9, and they were showing, I think for the first time, Paul Shankman did a movie about wrestling at the Chase, and it's so good. like you have to remember it for it to mean anything. But it was like such a big deal when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he goes into really great detail and the whole story. And it's really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So check it out. If anyone from my era, do you remember it? Was that anything?
I remember my dad watching it.
Yeah.
And I would watch it with him. But, you know, I was just happy to be hanging with my dad. I don't really. But I mean, the Chase was the place, not to make it rhyme like that, back in the day. I mean, I think my parents would see like Nat King Cole at the Chase and the Coronado Room. Is that?
I know we, I won't say we, I say this a lot. Like, why did things used to be better? Why did flying used to be better? Why did McDonald's used to be better? But watching that last night, we're talking about the 50s and 60s and like Gaslight Square.
Yeah.
And Frank Sinatra would play there.
All the time.
And it was just,
well,
it seemed like a really hip, clean, safe, cool city.
One of the reasons, and this Andrew and I were talking about something in the office, which I think lends to this conversation, because we were talking about Madonna, and he said, was she really big back in the 80s? I was like, oh, yeah, next to Michael Jackson. And we just started talking about that era and how big they were. But I think it's because we didn't have as many stars as we do today.
100%.
You know, I mean, there were only a few superstars. And now it's like everybody's a star. I mean, all you got to do is have your own this or that or, you know, podcast or you make your own movies or you do YouTube. It's like it's diluted the celebrity status.
So on that same kind of path of thinking, in the same way, like we still look at like Madonna. She's still a big deal. She's still relevant. She's still talked about, at least remembered very much. Do you think we'll see less of that when like Rachel and I are older and we our stars are, you know, Madonna's age or whatever? Do you think we will less less remember them?
Because there's
so many.
Do you think we will less remember them?
Me have questions. Me say words now. I loved it because he looked like Lincoln at the Lincoln-Douglas debates. He had his arms up. And he's,
over his head.
He's doing the Willy Wonka thing.
Perhaps can we less remember?
We remember less than. So I think it would be less because what Trish said, I don't think anyone is as big a deal because it's been diffused. But I'm sure that my mom and dad, to whatever extent they ever saw Madonna in the 80s, probably said, no one's going to remember her.
Yeah.
She's no Frank Sinatra. She's no Ava Gardner. So I think every generation probably does that. Like who? Okay. When you guys are my age, what artists or bands from your era could you see still going to see? The way we go see the Rolling Stones or something.
Oof, good question.
I mean, well,
I'm sure like Beyonce.
Yeah.
Huge.
U2's not really your era, right?
Not as much.
But can you really
Britney,
see?
Maybe?
And maybe you can. Can you really see a 70-year-old Beyonce getting out there and doing Single Ladies?
Yes. I think that's the goal, is for her to just like always stay. I mean, I think she's very similar to Madonna in that like she's always going to be in shape. She's not going to want to give up like the sex status. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Sex symbol status.
Symbol. But we got gotcha.
Say like, well, hey, good for her.
Who else younger?
My
is
status,
there anybody younger?
My status is
or is
sex.
There a group? I can't think of anything.
As far as like rock bands go, I don't know. Like I'll go see Spoon and the Strokes and like if they're still around whenever.
It's less, I would say, universal and more catered to like your tastes. Like there are bands that I can think of that like I will certainly go see in 20 years, but a lot of people might not. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true because there was only a couple genres too.
Yeah. Whereas like you guys had like this Rolling Stones, for example, who will always sell out every tour they ever do forever because everybody wants to go see them. And I don't know if we have a everybody wants to go, has to go, it shuts down the city when they're in town because it's such a big deal. I don't know if we have one of those.
What about your BTS boys?
Well, that's a worldwide phenomenon. That's a little bit different. Also, you know, who knows what is even going to happen with them? Who knows if they're even going to be relevant in 30 or 40 years?
Well, you get the Jonas Brothers. I mean, I could see them like reuniting in their old age if they ever break up again. It's like,
what do you guys think though of like, I always see headlines that are like, Drake broke yet another record of the Beatles. Like, whenever you put up the statistics, artists of today are doing just as well, if not better, than artists in the past.
Yeah.
I guess they just don't have that super. I mean, Drake is an incredibly popular artist, but he doesn't. If you don't like rap music, then you just don't like him.
Yes.
There's not that
and
mass appeal.
One thing about that too, like, it surprised me that he had. If you're not into, I don't know how to say this. Like, my mom knows who the Rolling Stones are. My mom knows who Madonna is. She knows who Beyonce is. I don't think she knows who Drake is, which is weird to me that he then. I know what I'm trying to say, and I'm not saying it well.
The he was able to achieve
the,
that.
Well, yeah, and the superstars back then, everyone knew.
Mm-hmm.
But then is that just because there is less of them? Is it just because there was only like Beatles, Rolling Stones, you know, Frank Sinatra, a handful of just like incredibly popular and famous household names? And then here it's like every day it feels like you're hearing about a new one.
Yeah. And we will less remember them.
It's just funny. No, but ask your question, what you were saying further into our conversation about Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. And then that led me into Michael Jackson. I just kind of wondered, like, what was it like experiencing live at the time, like the accusations? Because he was such a big deal and so incredibly huge and famous and popular and beloved. What was it like to, like, come across like, okay, well, there's maybe he's a little weird, and then there's the, you know, accusations and stuff.
I don't know. I'm sure it was shocking, but I already knew that he slept with a monkey and the elephant man's bones in a parabolic chamber. So, I mean,
it didn't shock you.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly.
But was that shocking when you found that out about the like most popular and famous guy in the world?
No, because we lived it in real time. He went from cute little Michael to, you know, bleaching his skin and his hair was different. And yeah, we sort of like saw the evolution.
And it was almost like you detach your, like, it was different. There was Michael Jackson, the star, and then the weird guy.
Yeah.
It was like two different people. It was weird.
Do you feel like back then, if something dark and horrible came out, it actually like canceled you, but there was more of an incentive for other people to cover up your dirty laundry back then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People didn't go after people like they do today. Mm. There was no bounty. Like, I remember probably 2 years ago doing a story when we were in the old studio about how the modern day currency, social currency, is finding the next person to persecute or to cancel or to Me Too or to whatever it is. And online, that was the best currency you could have was, I got them. Here you go. Back then, it was kind of the opposite. You didn't have TMZ, but you had like Entertainment Tonight was about as hard going after people as you had.
And the National Enquirer, I guess, was around then, huh?
But yeah, you didn't
but
have
nobody
that.
Paid attention
you didn't have
to
the
that.
Appetite to bring people down the way you do
that's
today.
True.
Do you think that has died down a little bit in the past couple of years? Because it seems like it has to me, but maybe I'm just not paying as close of attention.
It seems
maybe
to me,
we got everybody.
Yeah, well, that we're gonna get right
you know,
now.
That's, there's something to that, and I think that we've had probably I could name a half a dozen or a dozen people who got caught at something and just went, okay, whatever, and they didn't suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people kind of went, aw, damn it.
Yeah,
we'll move on to some other fun.
We want the meltdown. We want the big apology.
Well, now to me, it just feels like everybody's mad at everybody. Like everybody's in the wrong and. Everybody's in the right. Like, you're either righteous or you're the devil. And I don't know. It just feels like complete chaos.
It's working on me. And I don't want it to.
In like, what way?
In the way, like, when I see the tip of the spear of the Donald Trump people, like, out on a road dressed like it's 1776, you know, I feel real negative emotions, like real dislike. And I don't want to do that because, one, I don't want to do that. I don't want to spend my time on this earth feeling that way about a guy in a three-point hat. But then I also have dedicated myself to, like, Mr. Moderate, all-inclusive, every opinion's welcome. But is it really when I'm, like, hating you because, you know, what you're saying or what you're doing? So I'm a man enough to say it's worked on me, too. So
I don't know.
I'm no better than anyone else who hates somebody.
Don't you kind of feel the same way about the people who are like, yeah, we got him? Like, I kind of feel the same way about both people. Like, I'm just sick of the sides. like, yeah, this is finally it. Let's bring him down. The FBI got him. And we don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, there was video last week that was going around of, I think people were outside Trump Tower holding a banner and they were like, we just need to put him in jail. And no one had like a good reason why. And yeah, the right was kind of making fun of it. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I can't look at this and be like, I like you guys. They disgusted me as well. But they don't get as much media coverage. It's definitely more outrage baiting whenever it's showing the people outside of Mar-a-Lago.
Like you're saying, we're not doing it anymore. Maybe the outrage phase will kind of die down a little bit. We're outraged about everything.
Well,
it's exhausting.
It is very tiring.
I would have said that if I hadn't cleared my throat. That's exactly it. It's exhausting. And even if you are dedicated to it, your life is online trolling and getting outraged and causing outrage, or maybe you do a podcast or something. I mean, it steals your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a choice. Like, I know people, I'm thinking of people right now who I've broadcasted with over the years who they live for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got off social media because I hated it. I hated any sort of drama back and forth, and these people, it is the best thing they do all day. But even for them, it has to be taking off little pieces of their soul, right?
I even think.
Or just making them exhausted. Yeah. But my point is, we can't keep doing this. We might replace it with something even worse, if you can imagine, but I don't think we have the stamina as a species to just keep, like, could we do this another 20 years?
Oh, God, I hope
not. I don't think the average... I think there are people who can, but I don't think the average person can.
Yeah.
It'll cycle through like any other phase.
Yeah, and like I always say, it's the next generation. It's like that quarter machine to the carnival, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the lip coming up, and then one day I'll be hanging off the edge, and then another generation is going to shove me off into oblivion. But you need that next generation to do that, to get rid of all the stupid stuff you're doing.
I really thought it was going to be this past election. That was stupid of me. I should have known better. Now I'm looking forward to the next one going, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Let's turn the page.
253, joined now by Cards pitcher and broadcaster Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, buddy. Oh, by the way, did you enjoy your All-Star break?
Oh, I enjoyed the All-Star break. I enjoyed the fact that the Cardinals have been winning since then. So 100% to Myrtle Beach. That's kind of what we do. And
nice.
Part of our yearly trip, and just kind of fun. That you kind of need those days off. It's a long season, but man, I just love what's going on lately at the ballpark.
Yeah, here's my, I didn't plan this Dave question, but when do you start to get really tired in the season? Like you and John and all the guys and Claves, like when do you get to the point where you're like, okay.
Yes. Well, it could happen in spurts. It could happen when there's a long doubleheader that you don't plan on. It could happen when there's a long extra inning game or a badly played game that takes a long time. Those things can happen. But honestly, typically, and this is true of most players too, the phrase dog days of August would be now. I mean, it's right in the middle of August is when it gets hard, especially if it's hot, and it certainly was last homestand. This homestand, not so bad. I feel kind of rejuvenated with the cooler weather. But yeah, I would say last homestand was kind of the most tired point as far as I was concerned.
And Rick, obviously there's being hurt, there's being injured. You know, if you're ever an athlete, kind of know the difference. But no one's unscathed by this time of year, right? Everyone's got something going.
Well, it's true. And it's true of all the people that work around the ballpark, too. You think about all the people that make this, the camera guys and gals, the trainers, the guys that work in the clubhouse and the traveling show. I mean, everybody's kind of got their tipping point. And, 162 games is a lot of games. It's part of the cool thing about baseball is, as we say all the time, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And then you kind of get to the playoffs and then you start sprinting. But right now we're kind of on mile 15 of the marathon. So we've still got a ways to go.
So talk to me about Albert. He is closing in on 700, but he's confirming that this is my last year. I'm not chasing 700. I'm just trying to play my best.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to come back again. I know there's a lot of people that love to see it if he doesn't get to 700. I think Albert is enjoying this year beyond what I could have imagined and maybe what he could have imagined. I mean, being around him every day, he is in great spirits and he's performing well. And it's just really a treat, obviously, to have the storylines of Wainwright and Molina and Albert, all three of them. But, Albert has really risen to the occasion. And his game on Sunday, probably the high point of the season so far for the Cardinals. Best moment was Albert hitting a three-run home run off the team that's chasing the Cardinals, and he hit a long home run in the eighth inning and ended up being the game winner.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't come back just for that reason. You only get one chance to really do it right, and I think this is the year to do it.
Yeah, and I just don't think he's, you know, does he care about numbers? Of course he does. But I think, you know, his legacy is firmly cemented in St. Louis. I think it's been a great redemption thing for Albert to come back to St. Louis after being gone. I think great for him personally, great for Cardinal fans. And you kind of don't want to spoil that perfect ending, do you?
All right, Rick, have a great game, buddy.
You bet, Dave. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.